What up, Raider Nation?
This is Raider Radio.
Theme song.
Theme song.
Theme song.
All right, guys, this is Will.
My name is Mike.
And you're listening to Raider Radio.
Raider Radio.
And so this is kind of like our episode 1/episode 0. We just talked about Khalil Mack. Just wanted to say something about what the Raider Radio is all about. Is we want to be a fan voice, a podcast for people that are fans, not beat writers, not ESPN journalists, people who actually love and care for the Raiders. But also,
can I tell you something, Will?
Also, at the same time, consistent.
Consistent. I read a lot of Bleacher Report.
Why?
And it's the worst thing I could be doing with my time, humanly possible.
It absolutely.
I feel like I could be giving money to warlords in Africa, and I'd be bettering the human species than reading Bleacher Report or ESPN. You know what I mean? As a human being, that was driving me crazy. With all the Khalil Mack talk.
You gotta walk away from that.
You do.
So, a long time ago, I stopped with ESPN, and I stopped with Bleacher Report. If you want to be angry for no fucking reason, read that shit.
Listen, I love complaining as much as the next person. I love being depressed as much as the next person, but there's no sane reason to be, keeping your mind in that shit.
But anyway, the plan for the podcast is to do consistent weekly, maybe even 2 episodes a week. We're still trying to figure out the schedule. But same day, same time, always there. You want to listen to radio talk in the morning. You could listen to somebody who actually cares about the team, not some Bay Area radio station that talks about the 49ers, not Bleacher Report, ESPN, who just shits on the Raiders all day. Guys who love the team, who care about them, and just make it fun. So cutting into it, we just talked about the Mack trade.
Episode 2.
Yeah, episode 2, or I feel like the Mack trade in some ways is episode 0. We just had to get that out of the
episode
way.
Episode 0.5.
This is the preseason wrap-up. And to begin with the preseason, the first thing that you have to talk about is the changes in the coaching staff that the Raiders have made. So, just to list it off, we obviously hired John Gruden.
Who?
Brother of Jay Gruden.
Oh, we hired Jay Gruden. Oh,
no,
great.
No,
I was so worried that we hired an ESPN analyst.
We hired Jay's lesser-known brother, John. yeah. And John Gruden brought in Paul Gunther as his defensive coordinator, Greg Olsen as his offensive coordinator, and was it Rick Bisaccia as his special teams coach?
From the Cowboys.
Forgive me for not remembering.
Bisaccia. That's how you say it. Bisaccia. Say with me.
What if he's
Bisaccia?
What if he's not Italian?
And what is like Bisaccia?
You just offended everybody.
Then I am a racist, and I'm okay with that. I'm
typical white person. there's some other great coaching additions, but those are the big names. And
listen,
Mike, how do you feel about the guys that we added this
football
year?
Football is an 11-person game, right, on the field at a moment.
22.
Yeah, I mean, but 11 people on a team on a field at a moment, right? So to me, I don't think anyone was more happy than me when John Gruden was signed. I remember posting something.
There's probably someone more.
Probably
happy.
Because I have a
Jay.
Jay was probably finally my brother.
Jay was ecstatic.
My brother's not asking me for money. Actually, no.
Jay was like, I'm gonna have another job when I get fired from the Redskins.
But I was very happy when John got, because listen, I was 12 years old. I was there at the Tuck Bowl game. That was when I first started liking sports. So obviously, when this nostalgic force from my childhood came back to coach the Raiders, I was ecstatic, right?
Real talk, though, when Greg Olsen crashes and burns because he's a piece of shit.
Well, he's not really the offensive coordinator. I think we all know that.
Yeah, but when anyway, in my fantasy reality, when he crashes and burns.
Why does he have to crash and burn? That is such a pessimistic outlook.
Because
John Gruden is calling the plays. Why would Greg Olsen be the one to get the blame?
Because he'll be like a sacrificial lamb, and then we're gonna have Drake. We're gonna sign Jay Gruden when he leaves the Redskins, and we're gonna have the Gruden brothers on the same sideline.
Almost as good as the Ryan brothers.
It's gonna be. The Ryan brothers have good hair, and that's where they begin and end.
No, that one of them has good hair. Half of the Ryan family has good hair. The other has a tattoo of Mark Sanchez in his left ass cheek or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm too drunk to even go there with the Ryan brothers.
You don't want to think about Mark Sanchez tattoos?
No. That's the hardest thing I want to think about. For me, I think that the hype train with the Raiders this offseason began with the coaching staff signings. I think that after the coaching staff signings, like every step of the way, I became more skeptical. I think that Gruden is a brilliant offensive mind. I think that Gruden could and people have spoken about it. I think he's even said it. I think Gruden might be a better Gruden than he was the last time he wore silver and black. He had a lot of resources at his disposal to get better. And to think that a guy is not going to get better just because he's older is kind of ignorant in a way.
Well, there's been a lot of rhetoric thrown around this offseason, right? Because I think the Raiders are probably, I don't know if you'd agree with me, but the biggest question mark of any team going into the season, right? Because Gruden's the ultimate unknown quantity, right? Because he's been away from the game for so long, or so people say. I actually think that the years as an analyst maybe improved him because he got a little bit of an outside look, you know, looking in it. And, you know, he's kept up the game. And we all know John Gruden doesn't have a life besides football. But I think, like, again, football is a game designed around team. And I, as much as I hate to say it, I take that that Bill Belichick approach to it. And I think scheme and coaching, I prioritize that above individual talent.
Coaching in football matters more than any other sport.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You could sign LeBron James and he could sign his fucking wife as the coach and they'll still get to the finals.
That's
essentially what fucking, what's his name?
Tyronn Lue
was last year. He was LeBron's bitch.
Right.
But coaching matters in football. It's the most important. It's the most important position in the sport.
I think so. No, but scheme is everything, right? Because football's, it's not checkers, it's chess. It's all about outsmarting your opponent. And I think John Gruden is a master at football chess.
So win, lose, you think the Raiders?
I think
massively improved.
Okay, so like here we are in reality, right?
Yeah.
This man who I was so excited for traded away our best player. And that's a really hard thing to swallow emotionally, but I think we're a better team for it. I would rather have hot take.
Shut the fuck up.
Give me John Gruden over Khalil Mack. I know that's a super unpopular opinion.
Because you're dumb.
It's big picture. And you know what? I'm going to be fucking crucified over that opinion, but I'll stick by it. Because I think football is a game that must be coached. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Nothing you say ever does. So moving on to the next point is going to be the rookies. So let's start off with the first round. We trade it down with Mike McGlinchey, the top offensive tackle on the board. And we ended up with Colton Miller. Whirlwind of emotions there. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I just know in the very short window of John Gruden 2018 Raider football that there's been a lot of emotions, and I'll be honest, I didn't like this pick when it happened, but I think he had a really promising offseason, and I think he's a super talented guy. I think there's a lot to be desired at, like technique-wise, as an offensive tackle. But I think maybe you're investing in your future here on the offensive line. And I think the offensive line is where any good football team starts. So I understand the reasoning, you know, drafting a first-round talent. I mean, well, it's arguable whether he's a first-round talent, right, in the draft. But I don't hate it. Is what I'm saying. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. If he's a stable tackle for the next fucking 10 years, okay. I think that's a great pick. But he's super raw. He's someone who needs to be coached because I feel like he's a lack of technique, right? Everyone says he's strong up top, but on the bottom, his footwork needs a lot of work and stuff like that.
All right. So my opinion on Colton Miller is that disclaimer, I'm one of those douchebags who's sitting there on RaiderForums.com who has watched a bunch of film on football prospects to act like I have a more informed opinion than you do.
You do that more than just on football. You do that in like
life. Yeah, I do. I do it with everything. When we trained it down with Mike McGlinchey on the board, and actually, God, he was my number one player in the draft. Minka Fitzpatrick,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick.
I lost my fucking mind. I lost my goddamn mind. And then on top of that, when we traded down, we picked the one guy in the first round that, like, this was the very guy, the very last guy, the very one player that I would actually lose my shit if we drafted. We drafted Colton Miller. All right. This was, like I said before, this was the beginning of me being skeptical and like the honeymoon is over with John Gruden. I mean, you know, seeing into the future, like Khalil Mack trade it and like all these other fucking things. I started like, I'm like, oh my God, like this guy drafted the fucking Buccaneers into purgatory, into oblivion. He does not know how to choose personnel. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a coach. Why did we fucking give him this much power? A lot of people like to have a debate over like it's a Reggie pick or a John Gruden pick.
It's a John Gruden pick.
Yeah, it's a John Gruden pick. Like get the fuck out. John, newsflash people, Reggie McKenzie's not going to be our general manager in a year.
No, I agree.
He's not. I actually liked Reggie McKenzie as a GM. I was not one of those guys who shit on him.
Okay, but no, to be fair, he had a lot of shitty picks.
But he had really good ones. So he didn't have a lot of really good ones. He had some really good ones.
It seems like it's either like what a bust or boom sort of picks, right?
Kind of. I think that Reggie McKenzie was an average GM. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad.
I agree with that.
But the first John Gruden pick nearly
scary.
It sent me into lunacy. And when I saw Colton Miller in the preseason, I ate crow. I sat there and said, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'm wrong. This is why John Gruden's getting paid $100 million and I'm not. Because if Colton Miller's game tape in college looked remotely similar to the player we saw on the field preseason week one at left tackle and two and three, I would have taken him with a top 10 pick.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely fucking serious. Colton Miller is an elite athletic specimen. If you take away his skill, his deficiencies skill wise as a player, you just look at like the body.
He's got a great bod.
He's got such a good bod.
How sexy can he get as an offensive lineman? Like, what's
you
the
can't,
ceiling?
Colton Miller's the sexy ceiling on a 1 to 10. And
that's
so,
like a 7, but that's
dude,
as far as
if this guy figured out his skill deficiencies, he would dominate. The fact of the matter is that he made his living in college. He was a first-round pick as a guy who really didn't know how to play his position.
But it's that thing, right, about Gruden, where it's like you think he knows something you don't know, which is what that pick to me felt like, right?
I mean,
you hope that.
Yeah, the thing he doesn't know is how to coach a guy. And so he saw a guy who had some errors with his game but was an elite athletic specimen that Gruden was like, oh, fuck yeah, we can fix that. Everyone else was like, oh, we'll let him drop because we don't know if that's fixable. Gruden...
Let's trust in your coaches like Tom Cable.
And Tom Cable, and people want to shit on the Tom Cable thing. I mean, in newsflash, Tom Cable was the best coach in the 10 plus years between...
Let's not set the bar very high.
It's not setting the bar very high, but he was the best coach between Gruden and Gruden.
Not Hugh Jackson?
No, Hugh Jackson was a piece of shit, and he nearly marooned the ship.
The corpse of Art Shell?
He nearly sunk the Raiders before he left.
Saying that trade for Carson Palmer wasn't worth it?
Hugh Jackson is probably... I think that team is way more talented. Hugh Jackson is one of the worst head coaches I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
That's a hot take.
I would take Lane Kiffin again before I take Hugh Jackson.
Bill Callahan.
Junior. But with Colton Miller, he had a weird step in college when he was coming off the snap, and it's gone. The Raiders coaching staff fixed it.
So what would you grade the first pick?
With the
move down and everything.
With the move down, I would give the first pick a B based off the preseason.
I'm the same. Because I think they address a need, right? And I think Gruden saw the importance of that position, especially with Carr's history. But he's not the sexiest pick. Like I was like you. I want to make a Fitzpatrick. You know, he's available on the board at 10.
He filled a need.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a bad defense.
Absolutely.
But Colton Miller makes so much sense the more he lives up to his draft.
Well,
like, because like Donald Penn is not may not be here another year.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to be.
We didn't have a right tackle. So it's like, fuck. I mean, I wanted Mike McGlinchey. I think Minka was better. I wanted Mike McGlinchey to fill the need. And we trade it down. We might have gotten a guy who was better than the best tackle on the board.
Well, I feel good after what I've seen in the preseason. You know what I mean? I feel like he can... He's not perfect. There's a lot of, like, rough edges.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely someone... I mean, this is, you know, 4 games in his professional career and given against second stringers or whatever. But, like, I feel like there's at least a future there. Here's an athletic talent that can be coached up. And who knows? Maybe this solidified the left tackle position for the next 10 years. And that's what the ceiling is, right?
I agree. And I think he's the future. He has the possibility to be an elite left tackle, and at that point, we spend a lot of time on him. We should probably.
Well, he's the first pick.
He's the first pick. So let's do some quick hits on the second pick.
PJ Hall.
Or the rest of the picks. PJ Hall. When the pick came in, I was like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Who the fuck? Yeah.
And then I immediately went to YouTube and I looked up PJ Hall. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, seriously, like, this guy's a fucking monster. He is a beast.
But playing at Sam Houston State.
Exactly. So, it was like, holy fucking shit. You look at the measurables, this guy's got, like, a fucking Aaron Donald type of body. Like, he is the type of guy who... His potential is one of the rare 2 or 3 guys.
Okay, but put him at a top 10 school. Where does his overall productivity lie?
If you put
60% of what he
did? If you put PJ Hall, you want your fucking hot take here, you ESPN cocksucker?
Give me a hot take.
If you put PJ Hall at Alabama, he's a number one overall pick.
Ooh, that's a spicy take.
Look at his combine numbers, dude. Or not his combine, his pro day. He didn't play at the combine. But if you look at his pro day's numbers, you're talking about a generational athlete at defensive tackle. A guy who... A
Khalil Mack at defensive tackle.
A fucking Aaron Donald at defensive tackle. A Gerald McCoy.
Wow,
Gerald McCoy at defensive tackle.
That's an insane thing.
Athletically.
To say. I want you to know.
Athletically.
You're saying an insane thing, though.
I am, but athletically. We're just talking.
You're that physical, high on PJ Hall.
His physical body. Yes.
Love that bod.
Love that bod. Sexy motherfucker. But the competition and the technique and the skill set is remain to be questioned. That's why he fell to the second round. If PJ Hall was played at Alabama,
well, it's the standard that he played against. Yeah,
exactly. You're gonna deny that PJ Hall would have not been a surefire first round top 10 pick if he didn't go to Alabama. I mean,
I don't think anyone can say that.
I think you can look at like I'm sorry.
I don't think he would be. I don't think so. I don't
look
see
at,
him following.
Look at the defensive tackles who have been drafted in the first round by Alabama who produced nothing. And then you take PJ Hall. He gets invited to the combine just because he went to Alabama. So
we're going to find out. I mean, I agree with you. Like
what I'm basically saying is there's politics there.
Yeah,
there's a path that would have been way fucking easier to PJ Hall if national media saw PJ Hall in shorts in Indianapolis, he was a top 10 pick. End of story on shorts alone. On shorts alone.
Well, when you're showing those legs, I don't see how he could.
The fact that he came from Alabama and he looked that way in shorts means that he gets taken in the top 10. He didn't, so he fell to the second round.
I don't think you'd make a hotter take than that, honestly.
Defensive tackles are overdrafted all the time because look at how many
I don't know if he's a top 10 talent still. I don't think we can't say that yet. We're a week before the game.
We don't know. The point is that there's a lot of guys taken in the top 10 at that position that aren't top 10 talents.
I get that.
That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that PJ Hall was massively underrated because of the college. If he went to college, he would have had a cakewalk to the top 10.
Is he the best?
He may not have deserved it.
Is he the best pickup of this draft for you?
Yeah. He's the best pick of this draft. PJ Hall is the reason why Raider fans can have hope for this season after Khalil Mack being traded.
Well, what's his preseason stats, right? He's had, two sacks?
He had two sacks. I mean, I'm not trying to overinflate the guy. I think I projected him for...
Didn't he have a couple, batted balls and shit?
Well, he had the batted balls, which is really cool because one of his crazy stats in college, he had, 14block field goals or some crazy number.
But, when you can run over smaller dudes...
Exactly. Yeah. But, so he's not going to get those block field goals in the pros.
But he's got the length. Yeah,
he's got the length. Yeah. So on a passing play like a J.J. Watt or something like that, he'll get his fucking hands up there and he'll tip the pass, which he didn't in preseason. I mean, I projected the guy to have three sacks this year. I don't think that was a unfair prediction. I think that he still has a lot to prove. I'm not saying he's going to be worthy of a top 10 pick at the end of the day. I'm just saying that based off of the value of the position, the athleticism that he provides, the Raiders could not have made a better pick in the second round.
Really? You think he was the best second-round pick of any team?
A+. He was the best. Wow. He was the best second-round pick of any
team. Hot take.
Shut the fuck up.
Round 3. Brandon Parker.
Brandon Parker and Martavis Bryant, right? So let's start
with... That second one hurts a little bit.
Let's start with the Martavis...
Okay, so this is my hot take, right? I'll stop saying that. I was honestly...
Please stop saying that.
Shut up. I was honestly... I think Martavis Bryant was maybe the biggest disappointment for me outside of the Khalil Mack trade, but it's like, you give up a fucking third-round pick for nothing. I think that was such an oversight. I mean... I know Gruden's the type of guy who's like, let me take these troubled players, these people with this past, and we can systematically correct it or whatever. But I think the Bryant pick to me, that the trade was so disappointing because I honestly had a lot of hopes for him. Talent-wise, there's not a lot of people who can do better than that. He's a fast dude. I think he's got decent hands. His career might be over now. I think it's fucking over, but that was maybe one of the biggest, outside of Khalil, maybe the biggest disappointment for me for the offseason.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of hope for Martavis.
So when the Martavis Bryant trade went down, before the draft, I was running on the John Gruden high and got the Colton Miller pick, and that bummed me out. I was proven wrong, and I'll admit that.
It's an emotional roller coaster that is John Gruden.
Martavis Bryant trade really fucked me up.
Are you saying when the trade was made?
Yeah, when it was made.
Well, listen, you heard it. You
when
know,
it was
whatever.
Made. So Martavis Bryant, for me, is a he's a fucking hot box session away from a suspension.
Well, yeah, that was the risk. But they knew that going in. I feel like I have faith in my team enough to know, like the Gary and Connolly thing, right? When he was a rookie and that whole fucking rape thing was a thing. Like, I feel like I trust these people to do enough research, you know, to at least know that I don't know how, you know, whatever, what's going to happen is going to happen, but that the NFL would even, like, the percentage of them doing something like this is a reality. Like,
yeah,
you should know.
I mean, so I get that, but in some ways I disagree. And the reason why is because no matter how much research you do, you can't change a person from being who they are. And the thing with Martavis
Bryant... Past mistakes, though. You know what I mean?
Now, the reason why I think that I had a pretty good handle on Martavis Bryant was because the guy... I saw somebody post something like a comparison to like Randy Moss in terms of like height, speed.
Well, that's let's chill out in that comparison.
Well, but athletically, it's similar. So this guy, the point of the post was that Martavis Bryant has all the physical gifts of an elite wide receiver, and he played on a team that probably put him in the best situation to succeed.
Well, I think he was slot, right? Wasn't he, like, the receiver on that depth chart?
Yeah, but it's not like they ever were, like, they didn't play.
Well, listen, I mean, you got, like, someone like Antonio Brown who's going to be double-teamed, right? So it leaves Martavis open all the time. And you thought, like, hopefully, you know, he might enter a situation similar in Oakland where, you know, you've got at least Cooper and Nelson, you know, on the sides. And so you've got a threat up there up the middle. But I don't know. To me, it's like this is the biggest waste of potential, obviously, outside of the Khalil Mack trade.
Martavis wasted
a third round.
Martavis Bryant's career. And the reason why I had I had a problem with the trade because Martavis Bryant is the biggest waste of potential that I've ever seen in my fucking life before he even stepped foot on the field for the Raiders. If Antonio Brown.
Well, the headache
is the number one receiver. Dude. If you have Le'Veon fucking Bell, and you couldn't look at some of the guys Martavis Bryant couldn't beat out for the number two receiver position in Pittsburgh, and he was the most athletically talented guy in the field.
Dude, the headache thing in training camp, which was something that I read was a holdover from the like, even Pittsburgh camp. Ooh, nice.
I just offered Mike a beer and cut him off mid sentence. Mm-hmm.
But if you can, like, the player John Gruden wants to play for him, you know, the player that he wants to play is, like, someone who wants to play. Martavis wasn't that player. He wasn't someone who's dedicated, you know. I'm sorry, missing, you know, practices because of fucking quote-unquote headaches. It seems like a fucking bullshit excuse at the end of the day. I know the concussion thing's a thing, but, like, you just seem like you're making an excuse at that point, bro. And you gotta be better than that. You gotta want to play the fucking game. And John Gruden's a serious coach. And listen, whatever, he hasn't been perfect. We know that. But at least now we know we have a coach who like wants players, who wants to play, who wants to win.
And you know what, man? To close off the Martavis Bryant point because we do have to move on. Trading for him with a third round pick, and him smoking weed and getting suspended would have been.
Well, the NFL. They haven't officially said anything yet, right? So don't know.
Yeah, they haven't officially said anything yet. So at the time of recording this, but it would have been like, all right, we gambled, we lost. But seeing Martavis Bryant actually hit the practice field and kind of. In some ways, as a fan, and I'm on the outside looking in, so I might be wrong, but he kind of half-assed it. And trading a third round pick for a guy who didn't give you your all, which is the story of Martavis Bryant's career.
But you have to know that as a coach going in.
You have to. It was the first major mistake that John Gruden made. It was the first. So Colton Miller, I thought Colton Miller was a mistake, and John Gruden proved me wrong. Martavis Bryant was a humongous fuck up.
I agree with that.
Because you know what? You move down from a top 10 pick.
Who could have that been? You know what I mean? What talent could we have had in his place that would have been on the fucking team right now?
I agree. And so what you could have had is you could have ended up with, if you were actually going to be smart and trade Khalil Mack at the beginning of the offseason, you could have ended up with Arden Key and Sam Hubbard, who is one of the other top defensive ends from Ohio State, which I would have felt a lot fucking better doubling up on defensive end the same way we did with defensive tackle.
Having
two young defensive tackles. And then having Arden Key and Sam Hubbard. You fucked up on the Martavis Bryant trade.
You did. That's a fuck up. That's a D. Get this straight.
I would agree. The only reason why you didn't get an F is because of ceiling. Brandon Parker in the third round.
I don't know what he's going to be.
I don't know. I want to grade.
I don't even know if he's going to be on the team in like say 5 years.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I mean, I want to grade that one. It's hard for me to grade that one. Brandon, offensive tackles in the third round usually don't work out. I mean, it's
he's not going to be on the team.
In the future,
I'm saying.
If we're looking at like historical evidence, Brandon Parker's not going to work out.
No. You think that's a reach going for two offensive tackles in the first three rounds?
I think that it's a reach going for any offensive tackle outside of the first round. There's a reason why they're overdrafted in the first round, because there's not many of them. So when you're getting a third round tackle, you're really getting like a fourth or fifth round tackle.
Yeah.
Like Brandon Parker. Well,
you're drafting the position, not the player at that point, right?
He's not a superb talent. He might prove me wrong. When he does, I hope he does too.
Shits in your face.
I hope he does too. Yeah. I hope he shits in my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I want the Raiders to win. I want the Raiders to succeed. I thought Colton Miller was a bad pick. I'm sitting there and saying that John Gruden proved me wrong on that pick, and I've only seen fucking a couple of preseason
we'll
games.
We'll see.
Mel Hurst is obviously the next biggest name of the draft. We had like Nick Nelson. I love the Nick Nelson pick.
I liked a lot of Nick Nelson that I saw in the preseason. He's got a lot to fucking, you know, I think he's a raw rookie again, but I think there's the athletic talent.
Yeah. So for the Raider fan that is not a big college football fan, Nick Nelson was a top two round talent that I think he tore his meniscus. I can't remember what exactly happened, but he injured himself in the off season, which is like really fucking bad for any guy who's about to be drafted. Nick Nelson is a top cornerback talent that if he stays healthy, if his knee holds up, the Raiders got a deal. Got no other opinion on the guy beyond that.
The strap seems all boom or bust. I mean, that's been the rhetoric, you know.
Of course. So that's my comment on Nick Nelson. Going to Mo Hurst, so that we can finish up the draft. I mean, there's other picks after him, obviously, but
Aitman was released, right? So we don't even have to talk about him.
Yeah, we're talking about the relevant guys. What's your opinion on Mo Hurst?
Well, he's an undersized dude, right? But I mean, this is a dude a lot of like common fans have been super excited about, and whatever, you know, again, the story's been he's a top 10 talent or whatever without the heart condition that scared a lot of teams away. He's an undersized dude, but, you know, he's quick, and that's what gives him his value is he's quick. I don't think he's ever going to be a world beater, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's ever going to be, like, a crazy fucking sack machine, but I think he's always going to be, consistent pressure off the edge. Again, you know, like, he's a rookie, so what can you say? You know, we don't know what any of these guys are going to be like until we give him time, him or even Arden Key.
Yeah.
But I think there's potential there. But I think maybe for him more than anyone else, his weight and his, you know, the his body, the physicalness is going to be an issue, right? Because I don't know his height or his arm reach, but like I know he's a smaller dude.
So I evaluated Mohurst going into the draft where he was projected to go, which was like first round. Some people, like if you go on some of the Raider forums, people were talking about taking him in the first or second round. And,
so they got a steal.
We did get a steal. Yeah. And to preface my opinion or to foreshadow. Yeah. I mean, we got a steal on Mohurst. But I did not agree with those projections that he was a first or second round talent.
I know you're very low on him, right?
I was low on him before the draft, super high on him after the draft because we got him in, what, the fifth round?
Yeah.
Mohurst has a great highlight reel. When you can cut together all the sacks a guy has made, he looks like a world beater. But there's been times in college, there's been times in the preseason when he's worn the silver and black that he was outright abused in the run game. He was abused in the run game in college. And one game I remember in particular, he was playing a Pac-12 opponent. All right. For people that don't know, outside of like maybe Stanford, Pac-12 offensive linemen are like fucking accountants. All right. These are not guys that have any hope of being in the NFL. These are guys that you walk down the street next to. These are not good players. And Maurice Hurst in the run game got
Mohurst. Hurst.
I should just say Mohurst. But, Mo got punked by guys in the run game, and he got punked by guys in the run game in the preseason. Do I think that he's not valuable as a player? I don't think that. I think that Mohurst is the definition of a tweener, and I think that there's a way to make him succeed and pay off dividends for the Raiders. I think that on rundowns, Mohurst should and will never be on the inside. He is not a three-down defensive tackle ever. Ever. He's too weak. He's too small. If you compare Mohurst to some of the defensive ends in the league's history that go inside on passing downs, he's more like a Justin Tuck than he is like an Aaron Donald.
So, you're saying the Raiders drafted a very situational player, right?
Yes, a situational.
Heavy situational.
Yeah. So if Mohurst didn't have the heart concern, I would probably have put him in the low end of the second round, third round, and then he has the heart concern. He drops to the fifth. You take him, no problem.
But yeah, we did. We took him.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah. He was a deal. So
still a deal.
So what I'm saying is that Mohurst, in a year or two, when Bruce Irvin's off the team, and now Khalil Mack's off the team, Mohurst,
the Hurt,
he's a versatile player that can play all three downs for you.
Can we call him the Hurt eventually?
Mohurt.
Mohurt.
Ooh. Mohurt. Ooh.
You heard it here first.
When we move on from some of the older guys like Irvin, I think that Mohurst can be a defensive end on first down and be dominant at that.
Yeah.
And
so he's very like specific, right? He's very specialized, but what he does, he's going to do well.
He's either versatile or a tweener, depending on how you feel about that.
Yeah.
I think that he could be a guy that is a good run defender at defensive end and a mediocre slash bad one at defensive tackle.
How do you see him filling in a Gunther's defensive? schemes?
In Gunther's defensive scheme, he's a defensive end. 100% of the way he's defensive end. He would remind me more of like a heavier what was that guy? Michael Johnson for the Bengals. Like a long, powerful dude who would probably be dominant on the inside, but he's above average on the outside.
So
I think that we're going to see flashes of brilliance from Maurice Hurst rushing against guards, because guards can't keep up with his speed. But in the run game, guards are going to get their hands underneath his pads, and they're going to push him back 5 yards, and it's going to be an easy run. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But there's plenty of guys who are in between positions that have done well in the league. Like Clay Matthews is one of them. Clay Matthews does not play a single position. He doesn't have the body for a single position. In the fifth round, good pick. Great pick. I would give that an A in the first round. I know I just talked a lot of shit. A lot of people.
You did. Just presented as a C.
A lot of Hurst fans are bitching about it. But a fifth round pick has drawbacks. And I think Mo Hurst has a higher upside than most of them. All right, so there's other guys we drafted, but
those are the important ones.
Yeah, exactly. We touched on the important ones. Final draft grades without the hindsight of preseason.
Honestly, I give it a B. There's three really defensive players to be excited about. Colton Miller, like you said, like he's a, I think what we've seen in preseason so far is something to be excited about. You know what I mean? Like maybe a presence on the line for, steady presence on the line for maybe, who knows, maybe another 5 to 10 years. But those three young defensive talents, Hurst, Key, and Hall, they're people to be excited about. And I think with Mac's departure to this offseason, I think that's the silver lining. That's the thing we need to have hope in, is those defensive, draft picks. So I give him a solid B.
I agree with you on those points. I don't want to use like the hindsight of preseason to like fuck with my opinion.
I know preseason doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
It means a lot, because you know what? Preseason tape is more valuable than college tape.
You're going against professionals. Second stringers on an NFL team are better than,
players. So preseason tape definitely affected my opinion. So what I'll say is, if I had to give the draft a grade before preseason, I'd give it a C. I think that the Raiders were in a position where they had a top 10 pick. It was a fringe top 10 pick.
You had so many needs, though, going in, too. You know what I mean?
We had so many needs, but we're a year removed from a 12-win team. I would have taken the best safety in the draft, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Just my opinion. I think Colton Miller might end up being a better pick.
Hot take.
Yeah. Shut up. With preseason behind me, I give it a B minus. I don't put it up that much higher, because we wasted a third round pick on Martavis Bryant.
Well, that looms.
Yeah, the Martavis Bryant trade really pulls you back a little bit from all the gains you made. Yeah,
I mean, I think that's the biggest dark spot. More than the players they drafted is the fucking pick they wasted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, I'm not saying that I don't believe P.J. Hall is going to be the next good defensive tackle in the league. He could be. Colton Miller might be like the next like super athletic like fucking what was that 49ers tackle? Oh, I can't even remember his name now.
I don't remember. Off the top of my head.
It wasn't Joe Thomas. Was it Joe Thomas? No.
It was some white.
Joe Thomas name was the Brown. Yeah, it was another white dude, but he was super athletic. But yeah, I mean, Colton Miller might be the next great tackle. But ultimately, I think we made some errors. I think that the draft is strong enough to prove me wrong. and that's why I give it a C before the preseason, a B minus after. I think that there's errors with it, and it could prove me wrong. And
well, it's an unknown, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's hope.
Yeah, like. It's all projection.
It's the most exciting. Would you say it's the most exciting Raiders draft since like 14? Probably in the last three years.
Probably. There's no beating drafting a quarterback and a pass rusher.
No.
That's our preseason wrap up. I know it was long. I doubt any of you made it to the end. And
my mom probably did. She's listening right now.
Come on. Good night, folks.